Hello, this is Don White. I'm Vice Chair of the Archives Task Force of the Pacifican Foundation. And this is a meeting August 21st at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And we're calling the meeting to order of the Archives Task Force. And we have quite a few people on the line. I think what we'll do, if we may, is ask Brian to call the roll at this time.
Okay. Wendy Schrell from Houston.
Here.
Sherna Gluck from L.A.
Here.
John Almella from New York. You're not on the task force, but you're a streaming helper, but we want to know that you're there.
You're important to us, John. Are you there?
He has to be because he just streamed us, right? Okay, so Don White, you're here.
I'm here.
Melinda Eiley Dooley.
Stone, and I'm here.
Sorry, I just didn't know.
That's cool, Brian.
Bonnie.
Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
And Bonnie Simmons just joined us. Hi, Bonnie.
Just joined. Hi, guys.
Hi, we just started streaming. Don just sort of started us, and I just finished roll call. We have Wendy Schrell.
Hold on 1 second. I really just got out off the Bay Bridge and ran in here.
Okay, well then,
Wendy,
breathe.
Brian, go
Sherna, John Almella, Don
Yep,
White.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, John. Melinda Eiley-Doan and Michael Woodson.
That was John.
Right, so we have three people from Houston, two people from L.A., and John. And you from KPFA.
Okay, and nobody from BAI, I don't think, is going to be on because I just got an email from them yesterday saying that they have an LSB meeting.
How about WPSW?
I haven't heard a word.
We've never had any from WPSW.
Well, Bonnie, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you as our chair.
Okay. Don, do me a favor and chair for like a minute and a half. I'm really just opening my computer.
Oh, no, that's no problem.
I honestly just tore down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I am going to make a proposal that we, notwithstanding the fact that there may be another agenda here, that we actually begin tonight's meeting with a report from Brian.
No.
Is there any? Are you prepared to begin by giving us a report, Brian?
No, actually, I would rather sort of just wait and ask Sherna to sort of present what she was thinking about in terms of the papers and
have a
quick discussion about that because I'm waiting for Addie too, which I'm going to call her on my cell phone while you guys start.
Cool.
The thing.
I don't know if there were other agenda items, but I did have that one.
I would like to have Brian talk a little bit more about that BBC from the vault thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, great. Yeah, there is some new
and
updates on that.
I wondered if you are able to yet talk a little bit about the archive fund drive day.
Yes, we have some new updates on that as well.
So, okay. I'm sorry, Don.
Not at all. Actually, I did see where Brian had some news about from the vault and and its future use on BBC Five and a few things. That's why I was going to start with him. But I'm wondering if, Bonnie, do you have a proposed agenda?
The only agenda items that had come down the pike that I know of were the two that I just suggested.
Right.
That Brian talk about from the vault and the BBC and the archive fundraising day and Sherna's item about the papers. And perhaps we could have a report back.
This is Alonzo.
Alonzo, hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
If perhaps we could have a report back from the PMB meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we could also ask if any other members of the task force have agenda items they'd like to put on the table, even if we can't get to all of them tonight. We could certainly see if there are other members of the task force who might have agenda items that we can start to agendize. If not, we could start with maybe Sherna's item.
I just realized that maybe we should talk for a moment about this sort of confusion. roster of people who are actually on the committee since when we switched from a committee to a task force.
Yes.
So maybe we could have that as an agenda item also.
Absolutely.
Actually, I think that would be a good thing to start off with, so we sort of know what we are, what we're doing, and why, you know, whatever you're bringing to it, Bonnie. I think that would be
cool.
Really good.
All right. If everyone's in agreement, we'll make that number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Sherna, did you want to talk about your item after that?
Yeah. It's actually all our item, but it's my obsession.
Right. And then I think the other items, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, seem like they could kind of be rolled into a report from Brian.
Yes. And I think that my report, once we sort of talk about who we are and why we're here, all we're here, then we can figure out what role you can play as I'm talking about what we're doing.
Great. Don, do you want me to grab it?
Yeah, please do.
You fine? Sorry that I was a couple minutes late being stuck in traffic. Is anybody taking notes?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I know. Michael's driving, so I just happen to be in the office and have my hands at my computer.
Cool.
Can we decide on a definite end time also?
It is 8:41 on the East Coast. Do you think that we're being optimistic if we were to wrap this up in an hour, guys?
I think that would be... that would be good.
Be wonderful. But how about if we say 7 the latest?
Yes, yes.
Okay, but maybe 6:45 on our coast.
Yes.
Who knows? We might get lucky. I just wanted to talk about what has and has not transpired since we moved from being a committee to a task force. As far as I know, Houston is in the new task force formation, correct? Is it Wendy and Melinda Eilidon? And welcome, Melinda.
Thank you very much.
And Michael Woodson.
Michael Woodson.
Oh, okay, this is Wendy. I didn't realize that we were all joining at the same time. I have great interest. This is Wendy. I have great interest in the archives. I always have. And so I announced at the PNB meeting when I got re-inspired by Brian's report that I'd be joining the task force. So if you guys want me, I'm excited.
No. Is Teresa continuing?
I'm sure she is. I think she might be out of town.
She's checking her.
It's my assignment.
Okay. And
we
are far. As far as KPFA goes right now, it's myself, Ann Hallett, Mary Berg, and Andrea Turner. As far as I know, Mary and Annie may have another time commitment tonight, although I think Annie was going to try to phone in. I just haven't heard her come on the call yet. And Andrea hopefully will be here. She usually checks in, but I just haven't heard from her this time. I have not heard anything. Alonzo, you're here.
That's right.
Alonzo, do you know anything about the other members from the station that were on the committee and whether they intend to continue or not?
Well, I think I'm pretty sure that A.C. Bird is going to continue.
Great.
That's the only one that I can testify to.
Okay.
So Alonzo is from PFW?
Yes.
That's right.
Excellent.
And Alonzo from PFW. And we're not going to really be able to find out much about BAI, although we did hear, I think, Tibby emailed the entire group and said that because they have an LSB meeting tonight, she wouldn't be able to attend. And Mitchell also emailed me individually and told me that. And I have not spoken for some time to Ray LaForest to know whether he intends to continue or not. For those of you who are new, I did put this out to the LSBs through the chairs, and we also have discussed it in email and anytime people are on calls for meetings, if everybody would kindly just go to their LSB and kind of sort this out, we would be better able to move forward.
Bonnie,
and what am I missing? I'm missing L.A. Don.
Bonnie, for L.A., Let me say that we did not discuss it at our LSB. I assumed that Lamont was staying on, and when we get the PNB report, Lamont made a great statement at the PNB meeting. But it's, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to remind him and get him on these calls. But I am assuming he wants to stay on.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not sure that there makes any sense to try to do anything more formal, but since we do have people on the call from all of the stations tonight except BAI, maybe if everybody that is on the call could remember to just go back to the stations and just see if there's any further adjustments to make. What we had decided when we changed over from being a committee to a task force was that we would try to gather up to four people from each station, from each LSB, at least one being a national PMB member, and the others being LSB members, and it's fairly simple, fairly straightforward.
So we may actually have more than we would have had if we were a committee, in other words?
I suppose we could, if everyone were to attend.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Just to be clear, though, being a task force means that even people who aren't on the LSB could join if they have interest in the archive, correct?
Yes, and I understand. And is that the case, Melinda, is that the case with you this year?
It is.
Great. You know, when we decided to switch from being a committee to a task force, Teresa brought a motion that actually was more formal than I think we may have really intended. And she actually brought this motion that said that people would, or was it you, Don? I'm sorry.
It was I believe.
I am so sorry.
No, there's no problem.
Anyway, the motion was brought to make it a little bit more formally structured. And I believe what it said was up to four people and with at least one of them being a PNB member from each signal area. So, but, you know, I think in the spirit of the task force, which is that we'd like to gather a bunch of people who are enthusiastic about the archives and wanting to help the archives, doesn't seem to me that it's a problem to have someone who really, you know, is interested in the archives, although they may not be this year on an LSB. Does anyone have a problem with it?
Well, Bonnie, just a little clarification. That motion to the PNB was brought, I think, in Washington, D.C., and it actually did not deal with structure, as I recall. It dealt with the fact that we were having difficulty with quorum and that we would, you know, be changing from a committee to a task force, but I mean, I like the idea of having a director from each signal area simply because the work of this task force should be connected to the PNB to the degree that's possible so that when we have initiatives and we have motions and work that comes out of this task force, it's represented well by directors at the PNB.
Of course, that seems really sensible.
Yeah, that's it goes without saying. But I actually... My motion actually changed the name, but didn't dictate the...
You know, I think that maybe I am right that Teresa had a motion that was passed by the archive committee as to how to restructure. I'm just trying to find it here.
Yes, I think you're right. My PNB motion did not...
Can we spend time on things, including this?
Sure. Well, hopefully we can... be done with this item momentarily. I don't think there really is action beyond asking folks on the call to just go back to their folks at their signal area and encourage people that want to work with the Archives Task Force to do so and find out if the folks that have not shown up for a long time would like us to remove them from the rolls. Is there anything else on this that anyone else wants to put in there?
I do. This is Brian.
Go ahead, Brian.
You know, I like the idea of being able to invite people to join the task force for specific reasons. But I want to caution us in the anybody and everybody can join as long as they want to. Because, no disrespect to the people who want to, but sometimes volunteerism at this level with what we're trying to do can be more of a burden to us than it is to, have people help. So what I was hoping for and thinking about was, that we somehow, allow ourselves to invite people from the archive world to help the PNB members that are on the task force to understand some of the things that we're trying to do. And then, consultants and other people that could actually help us move forward, not just any old body. And I don't mean anything mean by that by any means.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
I actually just found the motion.
But can I just add one more thing to that? But so not to exclude people like Melinda who really do have a passion for it, but we haven't given her the right things to do to make her feel like she's doing anything. Thank you, Melinda, anyway. At one level, it's a responsibility for me and the rest of us to figure out who these people are that want to come and join, what we're actually going to ask them to do, if anything. And that sort of does, give me a responsibility as well. So I just want to be clear about that. But I would also like, if members of our listening area or whatever that aren't on LSBs want to join this task force, I would actually want them to write me a letter, telling me why they want to join the task force.
Could I just read the motion that was passed?
Yeah. Yes, I'm done now.
So that we can get a little bit of clarity. And it was in May. The chair will notify the PNB LSB chairs and current committee members of this motion. Current members of the Archives Task Force who reiterate interest to the LSB chair to their LSB chair will be considered on the task force. Those members who do not check with their chair will be considered stepping off the Archives Task Force. The LSBs at their next meeting will approve up to 4 representatives, parentheses, one being a director, close parentheses.
I got voted in on the last one at KPFT.
Cool.
All right, so I don't know what to say about that now.
Yeah, I know. We sort of passed a cumbersome thing.
Teresa put it to the board last time, and I got voted in.
Yep. Well, I guess if you had openings, that makes sense. What do you guys want to do? I mean, I can't imagine making this any more complicated and torturous.
Well, I guess maybe to move the phone call forward, can we sort of appoint 2 people to sort of work this out off the call and then come back, sometime on email and try to figure out a couple suggestions of what to do?
That sounds like a good idea. Anybody willing?
Anybody from Houston would like to help figure this out with Ms. Teresa?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I can do that.
Okay, good.
Maybe you guys could just discuss it. I would hope that we can easily end up with a task force that welcomes people that really want to work on it and maybe just clear up with people from that motion, which went out to everyone who was on the committee several times. The way we wrote it, if they didn't contact us, then they were off the committee. So maybe we should be considering that.
Minutes on this.
Sharon, this is a second. Can you guys add me to your listserv, which is wendy@radioforhouston.org, and send me the motion? That would just expedite.
Sure. Say your email a little bit slower, please, Wendy.
wendy@radio4houston.org.
Okay, I can't add you to the listserv, but I can send you an invitation, which I will, and then you have to do it.
That'd be great.
All right, so Wendy and Teresa will talk about this a little bit, and if you want to include me an email on your discussion, that'd be great, and we'll figure something out.
Okay.
So is it okay for me to sit in the meeting?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't in any way trying to say that you shouldn't be on the task force. I'm just trying to think of how to work around this slightly restrictive motion we passed, unintentionally restrictive.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Does everybody agree with that? I really shouldn't be
You're fine.
Universal decisions here.
You're fine.
Sherna, would you like to do your item?
Yeah.
Talk about your item.
Times on things because, you know, we seem to go on longer than I would like to stay on the call anyhow. Can you assign times to the items, Donnie?
Certainly. How long would you like for your item?
Oh, I only need like 3 minutes and Brian... Well, between Brian and me, what, Brian? 5 minutes?
I don't know. I never can judge time. I'm the one that always goes over.
Okay. I do want to end up.
I'll try to be brief.
I do want to end up with a motion.
Okay.
Right, 5 minutes for your item? Is that what you're saying?
Well, let's say 10 is, if I introduce a motion and we have to discuss it.
10 and Brian?
Okay. It is 5:57 now, and I've got the note things running, and I'm ready to roll. With timing and note-taking.
Cool. And for the discussion from Brian, a report back from the PMB, the BBC stuff, and the fundraising day, and anything else you would like to have in your report, could we do that in...
let's say 25.
Cool. Okay, Sherna?
Yeah. I first raised this with our LSB chair because I was trying to make some space in one of my file drawers. And as a historian, I'm a big saver.
Sherna, are you speaking? Sherna?
Pardon?
Are you speaking right into the phone? I'm having just a little.
Oh, I'm on a speaker. Is that okay?
Oh, you're on a speaker. Okay.
I'm on a speaker phone because it's hard for me to.
I'm having a little trouble understanding.
Okay, I'll lean into the speakerphone.
Okay.
And it occurred to me that, you know, if I dump all of my notes dating back to the first LSB, what kind of record are we going to have? And that's true of all of the stations. Technically, I believe the LSBs are supposed to deposit their notes with the national office. But, you know, as a historian, I think that there are things, for instance, on our meeting notes, there are attachments that are in hard copy only, but also there are real problems about things that are only archived digitally on websites. So I raised this with Brian, asking, you know, where is all of this and where should it be going? And he reminded me about that Wisconsin Historical Society collection. So I think what I'm looking for is a motion from this committee to the PNB. And let me just say generally what I'm looking at. And then Brian, once he explains about the Wisconsin Historical, maybe we can craft this better, that we would like the PNB to take initiative to work out a depositing arrangement for LSB materials and instruct all LSBs accordingly, something like that. And then maybe Brian can explain the issue with the Wisconsin Historical.
Right. I can say that, you know, two PNB meetings ago, we received some correspondence in a meeting with the Wisconsin Historical Society, who is the official, one of the official collectors of Pacifica papers since 1967. So we have a copy of all of their materials, including a 1968 Pacifica National Board motion that instructed the stations on what was to be collected and sent to Wisconsin for manuscript division preservation. And it included correspondence, internal memoranda, reports, programming scripts, brochures, research reports, background notes, minutes of the personnel meetings concerning how to put on a program, concerning policy, and concerning some brainstorming sessions, tapes, historical summaries, pamphlets, legal business, legislative materials, lists of personnel, obviously, you know, what essentially is an organization's paper archive. So we have sort of have that, but nothing is really happening currently, actually since a long time ago. I think 87 was the last time anything really happened. So with the Wisconsin Historical Society wanting to sort of complete the last donation to them as a gift from Pacifica and the rights issues being clarified, that's already been done by Greg Guma and through the PNB, making sure that that was done. But now we really are at the point where us as the task force of the archives really should, in the role of governance, figure out what do you take to the PNB to say this is what we recommend about Pacifica's papers. You know, in the digital age, what do we do in our democratic model? What do we do and how do we collect our historic record? Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so I would like to suggest that we, in fact, if not at this meeting, certainly before the next PNB meeting, pass a motion that requests that the PNB develop a procedure and arrangement for the deposit of significant, I don't know if we should spell out the materials, but certainly at least local station board meetings, notes, and attachments for deposits.
So are we getting the PNB to create a collection policy, Sherna?
Yeah, I think a collection policy and a procedure for a deposit. That, you know, would we send it somewhere? Would we send it to them and have them deal with it?
Got it.
Do they have to, you know, recontact Wisconsin Historical and establish guidelines, et cetera? But we want them to do something.
If I can get on my own stack, I guess. Does anybody else want to get in on the discussion?
Don White.
Okay. I'm still trying to quite figure out what you're saying. Are you just talking about LSB and PNB things right now as to the current things that you would want to accumulate?
For now, yeah. I mean, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that it would necessarily be every committee of the LSB, but, you know, maybe we need to start exploring that, but we need to have something. I'm sure at every station there is someone like me who's a saver and has documents. And I think that we need to make sure that they are being saved and they are being archived somewhere. And I don't think that we're in a position, unless we want to also propose that the Pacifica Archive be the repository of all these papers as well. But since there was this other arrangement with Wisconsin Historical, that seemed to make more sense.
I'm just trying to grasp, because maybe we're slightly different at KPFA. Almost everything that I can think of is electronic.
Well, that's a problem, though, Bounty.
Why? Because we're not cutting down enough trees?
Very concerned about records being only electronic. I mean, this is a big issue in the historical community right now.
Well, I mean, electronic by nature could be made into copies.
Okay.
So, but each LSB may be slightly different in the way that they operate.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, on our LSB, some people actually managed to get an electronic document to the secretary before the meeting, and it gets attached. Sometimes it's just, you know, the only record is the hard copy that's distributed. It varies a lot, and I suspect it varies even more from station to station.
So wouldn't your record really be the things that were actually passed?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, as a historian, that would be totally inadequate. Someone's doing research. You know, things may get read into the record, but they're not motions that are really significant, that say a lot about what's going on in a community. I think that even motions that are defeated may be saying a great deal historically. So, I mean, that's the problem, that minutes very often reflect only motions that were passed, and that is not an adequate record for historical study.
Don, did you want to get on the stack?
Well, I just want to concur with something that Sherness said. Probably in every signal area, there's a conscientious kind of keeper of the record, sometimes not even officially identified as that. At KPFK, for instance, I think people like Terry Goodman and Sherna and others have been conscientious, as well as the, you know, we've usually recruited a secretary for the LSB who's not a member of the LSB, who keeps very, very exacting minutes. And I agree there should be a repository for all of these items to go to. And where there is a record of a committee's minutes, they could go there as well. Now, the problem is an archivist, and that is to say someone who can collect and put into some kind of order all of this stuff. I mean, it's a bigger job than just having a place where people send their archives. So I think it's going to take quite a bit of thinking. But generally, I support this proposal because I believe people in their own, you know, computers and in their own files and in their own kind of personal archives, they have things that would be valuable, and eventually they're going to go off the LSB. They're going to leave the active role that they're now playing in the stations and in the foundation. And so there should be a place where they send those files for permanent, warehousing. So, I mean, I actually support this, but sure enough, my concern is, as you well know, of course, it's a bigger issue that's going to take an awful lot of planning and thought to make it actually effective.
But my understanding is, I mean, if in fact an arrangement can be made with Wisconsin Historical, they do have earlier records. I mean, that is what they do. It is an archive. It's a major social history archive.
Oh, and they have their own archivists who we'll put this stuff in order and arrange it by signal area or by committee, et cetera, because that's what would be needed for researchers if they wanted to access it.
Big job.
Yes. What I would say, I think this is really good. I don't know that we're ready to take a motion to the PNB yet, but I think that if you'll let me talk to Addie and get her advice on what might be the best thing in terms of the processing part of it, because she had some ideas when we were talking about Wisconsin too. So let me get a couple things together to sort of feed for a motion for that, Sherna.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But I hope that everybody agrees with the intention that, yes, indeed, we do have to keep the record of what the Democratic Pacifica has been. And it is much more than just what motions have been passed. And people are keeping things in their homes. And there does have to be a place for them to be sent for the permanent historic record, whether they like it or not, really.
Nice if we could have something to go to the PMB at the next...
So, Brian, you're going to work on that?
Yes.
Thanks, Brian.
Great. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to the item?
Well, Don White, I'll just say this and then I'll shut up. it seems to me, and Brian is correct, that before we go to the PNB with a motion, we have to find out if the archives there can receive. They're going to want to know, well, what kind of volume are you talking about, and how will people be told to transmit it? There are a lot of technical things around the amounts and how they'll be handled and how they get there and how they'll be identified. So before we go to the PNB with a motion, I think Brian is absolutely right. Our professional archivists who work for the foundation, Brian and Addie and others, they need to be in touch with the folks there at the school and find out what they're capable of receiving and how they would receive it. I think that has to happen before a PNB motion takes place.
Right. In fact, Sherna, it just dawned on me. I was taking notes as the secretary and forgot a very important part of this. Being that the PNB motion policy about collection really is in the old days of paper, before emails and everything,
right.
It really doesn't apply to the digital age. So when we tell the PNB that we want their emails, mm-hmm. one, it freaks them out, because they weren't thinking about that when they wrote that email that they don't want seen.
Correct.
But, you know, in the digital, we actually, I'm already working with Wisconsin Historical Society to give me a template about what a collection policy for the digital age looks like, and then we can adapt it for Pacifica.
Right.
So I forgot that I already did something.
Okay.
All right, so I'm writing my note that said Brian did something.
And it's not a school, Brian, is it?
And we'll follow up.
The Wisconsin
Historical Society is at the University of Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
So it is institutionalized.
And anything that was outside of the governance wing, foundation papers, I think legal documents you mentioned, and some things about programming, those would be things that you would work with the foundation and the radio stations to.
Right. In other words, the PNB has to create the policy, and then it gets distributed out to the stations so that the GMs and the PDs and the development directors know what ephemera get mm-hmm. collected.
Correct.
And then sent in what kind of box to what address. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, we should have a little shipping and packing thing with packing labels sent to the stations with lists to be done every month as a regular thing, like accounting people do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it can be done. We might have to start small just to get everybody introduced to the process, and then we'll have to start really collecting, backwards to 99 as best we can. And there is, in terms of the fear factor of this, it is sort of up to the PNB to restrict access to certain materials.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's there at the Wisconsin Historical Society, we do have the option to restrict access to the general public to private papers until a certain amount of time passes. Now, when we all die and nobody gives a damn anymore, then people can go and look at the emails. So we do have the ability to control access to the materials as we sort of figure out what we collect and what we save.
Brian, a point of information?
Yes, ma'am.
We actually don't.
It's
something that freaked us, all of us, out in the oral history community. The Wisconsin Historical Society, we learned as a result of an experience of theirs that even if something is closed, the FBI can go in and get an injunction to see it, even if someone refuses to give permission.
Okay. Well,
so,
I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
I mean, it shocked everyone, and I think given that, it means that if there are things that should not be made public under any circumstance, they probably should not be deposited if we really want control.
All right. So maybe when I heard that, maybe I thought that we control it within our house and then give it to them when we're ready for it to be
right.
released.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Shall we move on? Hearing no complaints, let's move on. And we are at your report, which would include report back from the PMB, information about the BBC, from the vault stuff, and fundraising day.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to stop taking notes because it's just me anyway. And when you guys comment, then I'll go back in and take a note. So the BBC, last Wednesday was the first day that Joanne Griffith from the BBC came in and started working on the first program to be launched in September. So the BBC Radio 5, there is a website so people can go and take a look at BBC Radio 5. So their new lineup, and it's a midnight to 6 broadcast in UK. There's 7 million web listeners and a 500,000 satellite listeners to the radio broadcast, and it's a weekly program. So From the Vault is sort of being re-envisioned for a British audience. Joanne Griffith is the journalist who and producer, and they're doing the first program on the Hollywood blacklist. So we're working on materials on Dalton Trumbo and Breaking the Blacklist documentary, and interviews with the Hollywood 10. The reason why they chose that is that we're here in Hollywood, and then the Hollywood backdrop is sort of the thing that the UK audience understands first and foremost, and then when we sort of present what we have, then it's a different thing. So the Hollywood blacklist is the first thing that's going to go up in September. With the launch of this, the From the Vault, the BBC version, what the Pacifica is benefiting from are, one, the listenership in the UK, access to the historic broadcasts of Pacifica, and then there's going to be web linkage. With the 7 million web listeners, the BBC is giving the Pacifica archives and From the Vault, it's standard space and presence on their website, and they are committed to the program, so they're committed to promoting it as much as they are able to do. One of the things they offered Pacifica too was the desire to do live live simulcasts with Pacifica for national specials. So outside of the archives relationship with Joanne and the From the Vault, what we're really doing is opening up a bridge for studio space, access to their archives, access to journalists' contact list, if you will. And then also, if something happens in Britain that is on the world stage that we really need to be covering, we have sort of a closer direct line to where we could do a national special from London, with collaboration with the BBC. So we really have sort of created a very open relationship that we can work with on, as needed basis, to sort of begin a really nice relationship between the two networks.
Cool. Great. Sounds fantastic.
Yes. Right. Good. Thank you. We're really excited. The team here of producers on From the Vault has sort of expanded. We have Lucia Chappelle from This Way Out, who's been a longtime producer of Pacifica, who's sort of contributing. So we're sort of expanding our contributors to the production. We have a new research assistant for the 1968 project, who happened to be is a history student and media studies student who did his thesis on 1968. Mm-hmm. So I actually have an academic to help me work through these recordings that we're working on. So that's good. So any questions about the BBC in terms of the report back from the PNB, I hope that it's a positive all the way around.
Brian?
Yes?
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so this is Wendy, and so you just said that they chose for their first broadcast the Hollywood Blacklist. Is this a program that From the Vault has already done?
No. Actually, that's the other benefit, is that as Joanne's producing the program for... Hi, Annie Howlett.
Hi, I'm so sorry. I just picked up the actual time.
Okay. let me just put in my secretary duties. Annie is here.
H-A-L-L-E.
Okay. All right, so... The question was when.
The question, so I'm asking, is Hollywood Blacklist?
Oh, right. Now I remember. Thanks. One of the benefits is that Joanne is a contributing producer. So what she does for that program on the Hollywood Blacklist, She's reviewing all the materials and choosing the best clips and putting them into her show. Basically, she's doing the show for us for, you know, one of the shows that will be upcoming. But, you know, the spin is that, you know, one show will be from the British, for the British listener, and then we sort of take the same materials and then spin it for the American Pacifica listener that sort of is at some level already introduced to the history of the Hollywood Blacklist. You know, so as we've had these producer discussions, production editorial discussions, you know, it's very important for us to understand that we're presenting to the United Kingdom public radio listenership Malcolm X for the first time. A British education does not have the American education. They don't have the entryway to a lot of the history that we already assume people know about. So there is a spin that we're very aware of in terms of, all right, so people in Hollywood and L.A. listenership, we sort of know what the Hollywood Blacklist is about, basically, or we have some impression. So the program really will sort of re-engage us. The U.K. audience, we're sort of starting two steps backwards. So I'm really very excited about Joanne's skills as a journalist for the BBC and a radio producer, and what she's teaching us and then what we're teaching her is really an incredible experience already.
I agree with that, and I am fully in support of this project. There are some people within the Pacifica community that will object to us doing anything with BBC because they think that this is the Queen's, you know, that it's government funded, and that, you know, we deal with this all the time here in Houston because we play BBC NewsHour. So I'm just trying to get a grip on people will say that BBC is now determining the content for From the Vault. So I need arguments to counteract that, because I really think that this is a fantastic thing for Pacifica, that this is all happening, and it's going to get our name out there to people that would never have heard of it. So,
well, I can alleviate some concern about that. One, the BBC, like over in London, they don't really care what we do. Like, they're not telling us anything. Joanne, you know, who comes in and sort of sits with us and our people, she actually is in the brainstorming meeting about our programming. So we've had the HUAC. She looked at our list of, like, the next 50 shows we want to do and try to figure out if we can do them.
Uh-huh.
And then HUAC was there. So she already looked at the list of programs we were planning to do and then picked one to work on for both herself and us.
Okay, cool.
So they're not determining programming at all, and actually we're determining it. Basically, you know, it's our team saying what we want the British audiences to listen to is Malcolm X, because we know that Malcolm X is, you know, the Pacifica, you know, he lives on Pacifica, you know, since then, you know, since he was here, he's still there. So I'm really proud to say I don't think that there's any reason to be concerned about that part of it, other than the people that don't have enough information to determine the right assessment.
Right, right. And, I mean, it's also, when you look at it, it's like we have so much stuff, it's kind of helpful for us to get input on what people think is interesting. I mean, this show is just a fantastic thing. Okay.
Right, so they don't determine the programming, but they contribute to the programming. And in terms of revenue, in terms of their website presence, our presence on their website and driving all that traffic to Pacifica, even if it is the Queen's, no, all right, so this is just Brian talking. Even if it is the Queen's network, we're getting a lot of money. We will be getting a lot of revenue from that network. You know, it's not the first time Pacifica has distributed programming to commercial venues. So there.
What I want to know also, I'm curious about a quid pro quo in possibility, because I would think that BBC would just have a phenomenal archive. Would there be a possibility that we could have access to some of their sources, maybe to build on our own resources?
Right. There is access to their archives, Melinda, but not in the sense that we get copies and to put into our archive. You know, if we're doing a story on, I don't know, something that I would go to the UK for in terms of their archives, we do have access. In fact, yes, I know I won't be able to bring up a specific that will be worth wasting our time with, but you know, there has been instances where we already know we want Joanne to go find us a few people for a specific program, and she's going to go do it.
And when do you expect the first show to run?
It's sometime in September, but I don't know if it's the beginning, middle, or end of September. I'll find out tomorrow. And when I do have a launch date, I'll let you all know, because we'll be able to web stream and listen to our first BBC broadcast.
Cool. And when you say revenue, do you mean in being able to sell copies of the shows, or do you mean by having the promotion for fundraising?
Right, more in terms of the promotional aspect and the donations and you know, the fund-driving part of it, the development part. I really don't think the world of CD sales is really where we need to put, you know, the basket isn't that available anymore.
Right.
So, you know, it's sort of that thing of, you know, tape sales and CD sales are 10% of the thing. 90% is in promotion and marketing. So with the BBC, you know, all I'm saying is that, you know, the presence of Pacifica, the entire country of England will all of a sudden start understanding that there's a network in America that over the past 60 years has presented different viewpoints than what we thought were being presented to the American. You know, British people still think that the Americans are big fat pigs, that, you know, all we care about is ourselves and we take. But they don't know about the social movements that were presented by Pacifica. You know, even Americans don't know what Pacifica has done for the country. So to be able to sort of put into an international historic record where Pacifica is in terms of historic record of media is extraordinarily important, even beyond just the revenue. But I think that we can start getting an international crowd of people who do care about the preservation of our archives and the sustenance of this network.
It's fantastic.
Yay! Wendy says it's fantastic.
No, I always said that, but I still think that.
Fantastic.
I could join in on that one, Wendy.
So, you know, and the worst comes to worst, it'll totally bomb. They'll cancel the program, and and we'll just start again.
But a bunch of them will still have heard of us in the meantime.
Right, exactly.
Is there a commitment for a certain number?
I think it's 13.
Cool.
I know, it's that weird thing that BBC has, you know what, I think 6 is considered the first season, and then they start again. So a 6-week launch, and then a review after 4 weeks to extend it or, you know, see where they are is sort of where it is.
Brian, BBC is all over U.S. airwaves. Is this absolutely restricted to the U.K., or is there a possibility BBC will be broadcasting to some of its outlets?
No, they won't have the license to rebroadcast to their affiliation or their other networks or other formats. Basically, it's a straight 1 week, you know, a one-time-only broadcast on their BBC Up All Night lineup.
Okay.
And then the webcast will be available for streaming 7 days after the broadcast, and then it'll go away.
Right.
So we have that sort of temporary presence every single week. We won't have any problems with people downloading stuff to own it, and that's sort of not where we're going. And in terms of them rebroadcasting, you won't be hearing the BBC News on KPFT talking about rebroadcasting from the vault.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to do that, basically they would have to come back to us with a proposal of how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the
place,
it won't fit within the affiliation program.
Yeah.
But if we really do want to expand, you know, I'm not even going to think about that yet.
No, I was actually thinking, I believe NPR does BBC broadcasting and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But no, your answer is the one I expected, that it's exclusively inside the UK, for now at least.
Good.
Yeah, actually, Brian.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, with that, whatever KPFT pays to play the BBC World Service, they could actually play BBC 24 hours a day if they wanted to. That's part of this PRI package.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't part of
the American PRI package in any way that you know of, right?
No, no. Sort of like, you know, what you're talking about is when, you know, a formal program does its formal international distribution, they go to PRI or PRX or NPR satellite dishes and those big companies. This really is just the Pacifica program getting a really good deal that the BBC sees the benefit of the archives. So right now, it's really just a, like, the producer of Up All Night has agreed with me that we're going to do this and see what happens, and nobody else is sort of getting involved. There are no, like, big BBC corporate meetings about us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this way it sort of keeps it very low-key and local, almost. And then as things grow, there's a lot of these things that you're bringing to the table that we can consider. But for now, it really is just a very basic, no, we believe in each other, we're going to go for it, see what happens. And so far, I don't think there's, you know, the major problems that ordinarily come up aren't there.
And one more question. So they have 7 million Internet listeners. I could make it 7 million and one. I'll be able to listen to this show if I want.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You can go online right now and listen to them.
Right. Uh-huh. They do on demand for a week after the broadcast.
Cool. Okay.
You know, and I do know that once the show gets introduced, there is a plan to do a program about the archives, you know, interviewing, you know, the people that are involved here in the building and what we're doing, what our intention is. So
Yay.
Even though they're getting the content, you know, one of the programs really is to introduce Pacifica to their listenership of, like, okay, so you just heard the Hollywood Blacklist. Now let's tell you about where it came from and why we're even doing this thing.
Yay.
So luckily, you know, I think it'll be good. And we'll just see how it goes and benefit for as many opportunities as possible and, you know, diffuse any problems that come along.
So there's no cost involved in this? This is Annie. I'm just jumping in.
Hi, Annie. No. The good thing is the BBC journalist who's here doing the work, you know, in our house is being paid by the BBC.
That was the piece I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have a BBC-paid journalist who just happened to move to America because she's marrying an American and got a green card and needed to find something to do.
Cool.
So she moved here, and working for the BBC, she was on the Posh and Beck Moving to Los Angeles, you know, daily stories for the BBC.
Right.
So now she's done with that, and now they've approved her fully to work with us.
Wonderful.
Ryan, sure not. Did you say before that Australian Broadcasting would also be picking this up?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
All right, so I guess I'm next with the Fun Drive update. If my notes on this section aren't really great, don't
P&B report.
Okay.
The fundraising day. And BBC were the three things we had, but certainly if you have other items, Rocket.
Cataloger and also the 1968 stuff.
Right. Actually, unless there's a PNB member on the call that was at the PNB meeting, I kind of don't have anything to say about it.